And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, the right kind of person for the right kind of job. That sounds cool. It makes it sound like there is an opening for someone who would fit the description of what somebody else is looking for. Guess what, Johnny? You win the prize. God is looking for the right kind of person. You and I may be that person. But the only way to know is to review the description that God has given. So we examine the characteristics of people that God is looking for. Do we fit that call? Ooh. Next, as I love to do, I now present what is sure to be an ear-tickling review of ridiculous ideologies of our own American government and culturally crazy kids of our time. It will be ear-tickling because the government may be listening in. And unfortunately, that's no longer a conspiracy theory, but it doesn't matter. I somewhat hoped that they would listen. Then perhaps a few people in the palace could hear our testimony and get saved. Well, that'd be nice. And finally, we'll close with the greatest lesson for each one of us, if you have been hurt. I even wrote a book. Yeah, I know, I'm stirring. And it's not the best book, but it's entitled Broken for His Glory, Why God's Plan for You May Have Involved a Painful Experience. It's free on Kindle and super low price for paperbacks, like under $5. The key in this lesson is to understand the connect part on God's side. So don't miss this.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, David, what are you doing? I'm just talking. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you do that, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite!
Now, what you probably don't know for real is that when you call in and talk to Dynamite D, you're talking to somebody who is praying for God to bless you.
That is true, Dave.
So you just think of that. Like, this guy's praying for me, but he doesn't even know me. You're his brother or sister in the Lord. He'd be praying for you to be blessed. I mean, how nice is that? Now, look, if you've got something that's going on, you've got a praise report. We love praise reports. They're fun. Because you get to find out what the Lord's doing. And instead of people thinking, well, why is God doing that for them and not for me? See, that's the old man in you. The new man in you goes, all right, God did it for my brother, did it for my sister. Yeah, he'll do it for me. Yes, that's the new man in you. So what the whole point in that is, if you got something that's a praise report, share it. Don't worry. Nobody's going to get like, oh, well, it's lucky you. Just share it. Let the Lord use it. It's not up to you and I to do things like that. It's up to him. And then if you got a prayer request, you got something that's like, man, this is tough, man. I don't know how to do this, right? Well, we need to be praying for one another, for health, for wisdom, for hurts, for all of that. I'm going to cover them, do a teaching on hurts. But let me tell you something. There are a lot of people that are hurt. a lot. And our goal here is to encourage not their hurt, but to get them past the hurt, pushing past pain. Because you can't let that stop you, okay? And then we also do weird things. We do jokes, you know, we do history. We do all kinds of things. Plus, we also do something that some people seem to like. I don't know. It does seem like a lot of people like it. We do something called trivia. Spies were sent into Jericho by Joshua. But they escaped and were hidden by a very wonderful woman when they were being hunted. Who was that woman? So spies were sent into Jericho by Joshua. They were discovered. Oh, no. But they escaped when they were hidden by somebody. And who was it who helped them escape? Who is it? Even in, by the way, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Ooh, that ought to tell you a lot right there. If you think you know the answer, we'll give you a chance. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email david@hemustincrease.org. At this point, we're going to do our DNA because we didn't do it in the earlier segment. So let's do it. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Just again, doesn't have to be a certain amount of time, but it has to be separated time. No distractions. What did Jesus say about going into the closet? Going to the closet. That's where you pray. That's where you talk to your Father. That's where you connect, right? That's just an absolute. Right? That's the D of our DNA as Christians. The N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. I am telling you, as I have been, we've been talking about for years, and people have been talking for years, not just me, people have been talking about this for years. You have to be in the Word of God so that you can know when they're going to make it as difficult as possible for you to read the Word of God. You know the Word of God, and you're never ashamed of the Word of God. Regardless of what the culture or the people tell you, you stand firm. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I come. It's like, ooh, bad. Don't do that. By the way, that's Luke 9:26. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means OPM. You think OPM? Other people money? No. Other people matter. The bottom line is, if you're so focused on yourself and so absorbed in yourself, you're just hurting yourself. As you take on other people's burdens, other people's ups and downs, and you share in their life, you get this extended – not only do the endorphins kick in your body, which is biological, nobody can argue that, but the reality is you're just in direct obedience to what Jesus wants you to do when he said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. It's like, okay, there you go. Jesus did it all for others. So that's a good one right there. That's our DNA, our building blocks, okay? All right, somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Stephen. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick?
Haven't had that in the last 24 hours anyway.
Here we go on the trivia question. Spies were sent into Jericho by Joshua, but they were discovered. But they escaped when they were hidden by who?
They were saved by Rahab.
That is correct, Amanda! That is right. Boy, you just have to think. And there's so much in there, right? Because there's so much undiscussed. But first of all, a big center of information where the prostitute's house is. I mean, that was pretty evident. But she had to take such a step of faith to go, I'm leaving everything behind. I know you guys are the real deal. I'm quitting all of my setups and my networks, and I'm going to put my life on the line just to help. That's just so much faith.
Well, it was not only just faith on her part, but there's another message there that a lot of people don't look at. You touched on it when you said that she was even in the genealogy of Jesus. If you go back and look, you will find quite a few very despicable acts by different people in the genealogy of Jesus.
Exactly.
It is all throughout. And some that we you know, we can't talk about that, but it's there because he came for the sinners, not the righteous.
Yeah, excellent, excellent, excellent point. It's one of my favorite things. James Ryle was a preacher, old from long ago. He passed away, but he said, in the genealogy of Christ, there is a virgin and a prostitute. He said, deal with it. It's like, wow.
Yeah, there's also all sorts of other things.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of other bad things in there, too.
Everywhere.
Excellent.
Oh, well, I won't even get started.
I know where you're going with that. Excellent job, my brother.
Look at Judah, look at Lot. I mean.
Yeah, this is amazing.
There's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, there is. Excellent job, brother.
You have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Steve's fantastic. I mean, he knows, and I know he knows. It's just one of those kind of fun things. It's just like, sometimes you sit and you think, how's he going to say it? You got to prep yourself. All right, so we're behind, but so what? Doesn't matter. You're listening. You might as well just enjoy it. This is called The Right Kind of Person. So what this has to do with is the Lord looks for people, right? He searches to and fro throughout the earth, right? Okay, here's Isaiah 66:2. And what's really funny is I'm going to do Isaiah 66:2, and then in the next segment, I'm going to do Isaiah 66:1, but you'll understand why, okay? So just follow along. Ready? Here we go. All right. Isaiah 66:2. My hand made all these things, and so they all came into being. Oh, cool. This is the Lord's declaration. I will look favorably on this kind of person, one who is humble, submissive in spirit, and who trembles at my word. Wow! I mean, wow! I mean, wow, right? For arrogant people like me, this is so challenging. I mean, I love it because I want to get there, and I am working diligently to be more humble, and when I fail, I know the Lord doth humble me. This is not a lot of question there. But look at what he says. Look, first of all, he goes, okay, I'm the creator. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that you and I are not the creator. And as much as we love mommy and daddy, and we love mommy and daddy and all of our family and everything there, none of that happens unless God says so. So that's not happening. So God is the creator. What are we? The creation. I have made all these things, and so they came into being. Nothing came into being without God's, you know, foreknowledge, his usage, his processes. And he says this, I will look favorably on this kind of person. What kind of person? One who is humble. So you think, why does a humble person, why does that strike a chord with the Lord? In other words, why does that, like, oh, that's kind of interesting, but why? Because he tells you in the prior part of the verse, I'm the creator. So I'm not looking for arrogant creation to lift its fist back up in my face. I'm not looking for defiance. I'm not looking for rebellion. I'm not looking for sinfulness. I'm looking for somebody who's humble. And in fact, in James and in Peter, it talks about God. He gives grace to the humble, but he fights against those who are full of pride. You think about this. Do you want God fighting against you? Well, just be as arrogant as you can be and see how that goes. I mean, you'll never win that ever. So instead of trying to manipulate God, which every one of us does, just come before him and go, here, I can't. Here, just you, right? And then it says this, one who is humble, submissive in spirit. So you can know that word is actually broken or submissive, and it's the one who surrenders. And it's like, this is everybody talking about, you got to surrender your life to Jesus. Oh, where does it say that? Well, it says it right here. So you want to know a place? Right here. It's like, you're looking for it. We got to surrender it. And the hardest thing to surrender are sometimes the things we're most successful at because we're good at it. And you got to let it go. And then he drops the one that is the one that I love the most. I mean, because the other two I have to fight through. But I do love the third one and trembles at my word. There's times where somebody teaches or preaches, and I'm just like, wow, life-changing. Just ruined my pattern of thought, so now I will have new patterns of thought. That's how powerful the Word of God is, sharper than any two-edged sword, alive.
That is the kind of person that God is looking for. Humble, broken and submissive before him, not trying to control, and trembles at his word and thinks, wow, you are mighty awesome, right? Right. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Well, all amps are louder. Because you see, ours, normally, an amp goes from 1 to 10, see? But ours, they go to 11, see? So ours are one more. They're louder, see? So you turn them all the way to 11. All the way up, they're louder.
I have saved the best for the last. Because I know almost what I am doing, but not quite.
The David Spoon Experience. The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We're having a fun show. This is a fun show. I like it. All right. I hope you guys are getting some out of it. That's the most important part. In fact, we tell people, I try to tell people, you don't have to agree with everything I say. I don't agree with everything I said 20 years ago. In fact, if I met myself 20 years ago, I'd certainly punch myself in the eye. That's not the point. The point is what you get is something to be used to draw you closer to the Lord and to be more aware and connected to his kingdom. That's the stuff.
Correct, Dave.
That's the gold. You just hang on to that, okay? All right, so this is an interesting trivia question, and I'm going to tell you that many people are going to get it wrong, so you got to just take a deep breath. And think about the answer, okay? How many times did Israel march around Jericho in total? How many times did Israel march around Jericho? If you're looking to look it up, then you're going to see Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, okay? But you got to count. You got to do a little math. That's all I'm saying. Got to do math. Got to do math. Don't get mad at me. Got to do math. I got a couple of jokes. We're going to do them because I haven't been doing jokes as much lately. And one of these, two of these, there's three jokes, and two of them are for Aunt Deb. So, so you got the jokes. We do have somebody that's going to call them. We're going to hold them. We're going to hold them so I can do the jokes. Is that all right? We're going to hold them to do the jokes. Here's three jokes. Ready? They're all short. Ready? Two of these are for Aunt Deb. Okay? All right. Here you go. All right. Remember, because Aunt Deb, big love cats. Okay? Okay. Here's the first joke. What did the 500-pound canary say as he walked down the street? What did the 500-pound canary say as he walked down the street? Here, kitty, kitty. Here, kitty, kitty. Okay, this is a good one. I like this one, actually. What do you call a cat that's been thrown in the dryer? Fluffy. All right, and then the last one. What is worse than a giraffe with a sore neck? What is worse than a giraffe with a sore neck? A centipede with athlete's feet.
Say what?
I didn't say be brilliant. I just said.
I like the fluffy cat
the
one.
The fluffy one is a good one, right?
I give you that.
That's a good one. All right, send the person through. Here we go. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you?
I'm doing good, Gary. I'm finally starting to feel normal.
Just like, that's good.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord.
That's praise the Lord. I'm just like, oh, wow, it's been long, right? All right. This is a classic, and a lot of people answered wrong initially and then kind of corrected and so on and so forth. That's why I'm hoping you pick it up on the first one. But you're a sharp guy, so I'm feeling pretty confident. How many times did Israel march around Jericho in total?
Well, I thought it was seven times.
Okay. My hero, I'm going to help you out. So they marched once a day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they marched seven times.
Well, that's 13 times.
There you go. You got it right there. 13 is actually the actual number. So they did it once a day for 6 days, and then the seventh day they did it seven times. And so 7 and 6, 13, that's actually how many times they marched around Jericho to get it. And there are a lot of people will typically answer, 14, because they're thinking, okay, 7, so and so forth. But it's 13. So, and the reference is Joshua 6, 1 through 5. See, but that's something that's like, yeah, you'll never forget that forever again. That's good. Got it, 13. So, still solid, and you still got there.
Well, God bless you, and I'll keep praying for all of you.
I appreciate it, my brother, and we will everybody in this audience, keep praying for you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, see, 13, kind of sneaky, right? Kind of sneaky. Okay. Yeah, this will go over like a lead balloon, but it's all right. Back to Isaiah 66. All of these, by the way, are in Isaiah, just in case you're wondering. All these, you might as well, if you're in your book, you might as well just hang out there. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. Okay. Here you go. Ready? I don't have to go very far. Okay, ready? This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Okay, did you see that? Is that kind of in that same translation you got that? Isaiah 66, 1. Heaven, this is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne.
Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Yep.
Yep. Okay. Pretty soon, right? All right. Earth, our home base? No. See, no. Let me explain something to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in the faith without having received the promises, but they saw them from a distance, greeting them, and confessed they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. You're just visiting. It's not only are you just visiting, but you're like, you're just visiting because you're like, I just wish, I don't care what the eschatology is. Let's just be honest. I'm not talking about that. I just wish there was a rapture and it happened right now. It's like, that's whatever. It's just to be honest. I mean, I had this wonderful meal with Robert and Rosalind when we were at their house. And we talked about it. It's like, even, it doesn't matter if you're right, wrong, and different. Doesn't matter. Who doesn't want just to go, we're done? That's exactly what we want. I mean, we want this. And so this isn't it. And that's why many times as you're even you're doing your devotions or you're in fellowship or worship, whatever, you know there's something greater and it pulls you. And I would say this is even true. Even if you go and sit at the ocean and look at the vast handiwork of God, or even if you look at the sky, you already know the testimony, the words, the witness of God. And it's telling you, yeah, this ain't it. This is not all of it. There's more. And that seeps into your being, and it makes you like go, eternal life, eternal life. But I want to point out something about Earth, okay? God did create it. Man did sin upon it and ruin much of it. God has a redemption plan, but it's not to recycle it. God's redemption plan is a new one. So when people go around saying Earth is a mother, whether they're a politician who's retired from the position of being in charge of a particular political group, or if they're a preacher, or if they're an academic, or whatever these people are, they're nutsy cuckoo. Sorry, they're nuts. They're wrong. I mean, not only is Earth not a mother, although they did get most of that from the Parquet commercial, which most of you know, and maybe Dynamite D might not know, but there's a long—
dated me a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, so there's this commercial that went on for years and years, and it's butter, and but it wasn't butter, it was Parquet, it was fake butter, and then Mother Nature's eating it, and then no, that's Parquet. She goes, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. You know, that's probably where most of these theological concepts come from for some of these people. This is it. Very simple. Earth is not only not the only place, even from a secular point of view, Earth is not the only place. There's no argument. Mother, you got to be kidding. And God calls it a footstool in comparison to the universe. This is what the Lord said. Heaven is my throne. Okay, it's part of the universe. Earth is my footstool. So there's a part of the heavenlies, the part of the universe that's like his throne, and this ain't it. So what I'm trying to say is, as a people, Isaiah 65:17, 2 Peter 3:17, we're people that are looking for a new heavens and a new earth. In fact, Peter, 2 Peter 3 says, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to be people looking for a new heavens and a new earth. It's not here. And even if they want to try and worship the creation, which they're trying to do, the actual creation is waiting for redemption, not the sinful thinking of mankind. So Earth, ready? Earth, not first. Earth, not first. That's just as easy as it can be. Not first, okay? All right. Does that make sense?
I think that joke go back way farther though, Dave. It's like, what is this? It's back to the Gordon, if you ask
people
me.
People are like, okay, let's just move on. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. And what the whole teaching has to do with is the dissatisfaction that people have who are worldly when the divine is involved. I want you to hear that line. That's the big line. That's the big connector between all of this. The worldly are never satisfied if divinity is involved. So the example Jesus says is, you know, we played the flute for you, right? And the flute, you know, woo, the flute, yay, happy sounds, right? And the people are like, no. And it's like, okay, well, we sang a dirge for you, right? What'd you sing at a funeral, right? And the people were like, no. And then John the Baptist, he says, comes, and John the Baptist is as straight as you can get. We would call him, a massive teetotaler might be fair enough to say. And he says he's not eating bread, he's not drinking any wine. And you people, the way you respond, you go, hey, he's got a demon. And then Jesus, he says, I come, Son of Man comes, I'm eating and drinking. And then what do the people do? They extreme it out and they say, he's a glutton because he's eating, not eating more than he should, just eating. And he's a drunkard because he had wine. You see, this is the thing. The thing is that the world and the worldly are never
satisfied. That's why I said that connection to the song. And don't get mad at me that I used a Rolling Stone song. It's not my fault they wrote a song called I Can't Get No Satisfaction. This is the Lord trying to reach people at different levels, and people keep going, no, 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 no. And it's nonstop. And there's just no satisfying them. And even the one thing that I would say, and I've said this before in the beginning of this broadcast, and I don't really care about your political affiliations, but when people get going in a certain direction, you can't move them one way or another. And when the media was all over Donald Trump, it's fair to say that had he helped cure cancer with research, they would have accused Donald Trump of putting people out of business who were in the cancer business. It's just like that's exactly what they would have done. Everybody knows that. And it's because that's how the mentality is. If somebody comes along and does something that's good and it's not appreciative to the world or they don't like it, they will rip it to shreds. You can't play the flute. You can't sing a dirge. You can't be Johnny the Baptist. And you can't be Jesus Christ because none of those things satisfy. We want exactly what we want, which, by the way, they don't even know what they want. That's the irony. It's God that's giving the opportunity for people to get the answers, and people are so inwardly confused because of Satan, they wouldn't know a good thing if it split them in the eyeballs. That's the problem.
The David Spoon Experience.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty. As with every...
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. If you didn't hear the very beginning of the show, you're going to hear what I'm going to do again a second time. I'm just telling you. So things are moving in a little bit unique direction. So let's do our trivia question. That'll explain what I'm talking about. Here's our trivia question. A little tougher, but not too tough. How did Joshua and Caleb describe the land of Canaan when they came back from spying out the land? They gave it a description. What was that description? Your direct answer is in Numbers chapter 14, verse 7. That's your most specific reference. But we're looking for... I probably said that wrong, so that's my fault, okay? We're looking not for the specific description, but the overall. I did that question poorly. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay, so I'll explain that later. I'm going to give everybody the credit because I asked it poorly. In the meantime, I'll tell you how to reach us, and then I'm going to tell you something that we've added into the show. Number to call, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I'm going to send you up to the website, and I told you this earlier. I'm going to tell you again. So the Lord has been rebuking me. I think you got to be honest about stuff like that. When the Lord tells you, don't keep doing it. So because of my past and being involved in investments and people being hurt, I hate talking about money, and the Lord has been like going, You know what? That's enough. There's plenty of my words. Stop doing. And so now he brought me to a book that is just so in your face. I don't like that.
I think that's powerful, though, Dave, because me and you talked out the air, and I know that you said because of some prior things, you didn't feel comfortable with it, but I'm glad that God is revealing some things to you in that area.
One step at a time. So the best steps I can make. And so it's not for me to, you know, we're not still not offering, you know, we're not giving you a Chinese dinner because you're giving or something.
No special water?
No, you're not getting any special, it's special oil. Okay, sure. It's a Bible specifically anointed by this preacher. Okay, if it's not anointed by the Holy Spirit, then you should just dump it. Okay, anyhow, so with us asking for funds, I'm just telling you, we had the lowest we've ever had in a four-week period in 2 years. So that was a lot. So with every one of these, and this is what the Lord has brought me to, I am also giving a scripture that goes along with it, asking you to help us. So here's Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Number one, don't give God second. Okay, that's just wrong. Number two, we ask you to take care of your home base first, unless the Lord has directed you specifically otherwise. And then three, if you can give, great, but if you can't give, don't get any more guilt weird on me. But the Lord has made it clear to me that this is a joint ministry, and everybody has to be a part of the joint ministry. So I'm just like, okay, I'm trying, Lord. I'm trying. So check it all out on the website, hemusincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemusincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemusincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemusincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemusincrease.org.
Hemusincrease.org.
See, I could do cartoons all day. That's part of the problem. All right, send the person through his ready answer to the question. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Brother Roger again.
Hey, Roger again. How are you? How you feeling?
I'm doing better.
Good.
I'm clean bill of health, except the skip a beat, but that's okay.
All right. So you're doing lots better overall. That's good news. That's good news.
I've been eating, get my strength back.
Amen. That's what you need now is just to get the full recovery, or you're getting it back, or you need it to get back. Which one?
I'm at where I was when I went in.
Okay. Do you need to go higher than that?
Everybody needs better than that.
Bless your
heart. That's part of your question has to do with... There's an answer.
There's a couple of answers. So I think I kind of didn't do a good job of doing the question, and that does happen. I mean, it's just my fault for that.
That's okay. But I know what the answer is.
All right, you give me the answer, and then we'll if it's on the target, I'll tell you. And if it's part of what everybody else said, then I'll explain how the connection is. So you give me the answer first and foremost. The report that they gave about the land, what did they say about the land?
The land of plenty.
Is? The land of Canaan is, give me a report card on it. It is what? What kind of land is it?
Well, what more do you want?
It's the opposite. It's the opposite of bad.
Good.
That's right. It's good land.
Good.
That was that's the initial thing. Okay, that the land was good, but I didn't ask the question that way. So because I didn't ask that question, people are like going milk and honey, which is exactly true. Large fruit, exactly true. All that's true. But I asked the question poorly. So everybody gets props on that one. That is the MC who blew that one.
and God is still trying to move his people into the land of plenty. But we stay in the land of just enough.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're exactly right. And our faith is often connected to that. And unfortunately, an unworthiness element seems to seep in there too, right? That's amazing.
And when I was in the hospital, he said, I want you to move out of the land of just enough and move into the land of plenty.
There you go.
So that's why... I got a little confused because you said general answer, and that's what I gave you.
Yeah, but that's a good lie. And you know what? Every one of us should be thinking, we need to get out of the land of just enough, and, you know, how about the land of plenty? That's a good idea.
Right.
That's a good And if you think about it, the candy that we all knew as kids, good and plenty. So the land was good and plenty. How about that?
Yeah, good and plenty.
There you go.
So
that's a good word.
I mean, God has always wanted us to have the land of plenty.
Yeah, amen.
But we this is what our problem is, oh, well, you know, my kids did that, my wife did that, oh, my car is, they got in my way, gripe, 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 gripe. and then, well, guess what? You go back to the land of just nothing.
Yeah, exactly. We walk right back. And in their hearts, they turn back to Egypt, the Bible says in Acts chapter 7. That's what Stephen taught. So that's exactly right. Good word, my brother. You are always full of delight, and I appreciate you.
Well, when you said we're going to have to go over this again,
yeah.
I felt like it was a signal for Roger to call again.
That's so funny. Touche. Touche. That's a good one. All right, brother. That's good.
It's always a pleasure to talk to Dynamite D.
Yeah.
Because he encourages me, and I just want to encourage you guys. And as far as the radio show having a low month, well, give it to God and move into the land of plenty.
Amen. That's exactly God what I'm going to do. The Lord will provide. Amen.
Yes.
Amen, brother.
All right.
Brother.
I love you guys. We'll see you later.
All right. God bless you.
Bye.
Roger again. Another classic.
Another Roger again.
Classic moment. Can you imagine we took all these things and put these things
together? He's stacking them up, kind of.
Yeah, he's doing a pretty good job. All right, let me do this one because the last one's most important. We'll do history next, and the next one, not this one. Listen, okay? This is Isaiah 63:7. Really, really good. Great text. And let me just—it's not even complex. Only take 3-4 minutes, but listen, okay? This is what the Lord communicates in His Word. I will make known the Lord's faithful love and the Lord's praiseworthy acts because of all the Lord has done for us, even the many good things He has done for the house of Israel. And He has done them based on His compassion and the abundance of His faithful love. Okay, so this is called the what and the why. I will make known the Lord's faithful love and the Lord's praiseworthy acts because of all the Lord has done for us, even the many good things. Oh, He has done for the house of Israel. Wow. You're going to make known what? The what is the Lord's love and His praiseworthy acts. You see that in 63:7? I will make known the Lord's faithful love and the praiseworthy acts. So we were like, well, that could be one verse. Yeah, that's fine. It's two elements. It doesn't matter. We're supposed to make known His faithful love and His praiseworthy acts. Okay, cool. All right, what He's done for the house of Israel. Great. Wait. Based on what? Based on His compassion and the abundance of His faithful love. In other words, what God does in Isaiah 63:7, and what God does is He makes it clear that He's done great things and we should make those great things known. But He doesn't do those great things because you are the best ever. You're not. I know some of you think, well, yes, I am, but no. In the kingdom of God, Jesus is the best ever, and then there's nothing else. So let's just understand, based on God's compassion and the abundance of His faithful love, which, by the way, it'd be really nice for all of us to recognize the word faithful love as opposed to wishy-washy love, because how many of us think God is a wishy-washy love? Stop doing that. He doesn't base it on how He feels at the moment and then changes it and then changes it. That's us. That's not God. And so we're supposed to make known His faithful love, His praiseworthy acts. That's the what. But based on what? On His compassion and His faithful love. See how the faithful love circles? See how it starts is it's the faithful love first. Then it's the praiseworthy acts, and it's because of His compassion and, again, His faithful love. It circles. I remember Oral Roberts teaching that one time when he was like going, okay, it starts here, goes, and it goes all the way back to the same spot it started in. Well, that's where it starts. God's faithful love, not wishy-washy love, and His praiseworthy acts should be made known. What's that based on? His compassion, okay, and the abundance of His faithful love. Well, okay, same thing. Yeah. It's not because you're great. It's because He's great. And you think, why? And I've said this before, and people hate me. They just despise it. Because I understand the tension between free will and predestination, okay? But why am I so fortunate? I don't know. I would just be thankful for it. If you want to try and walk out of it, I suppose you can, but I'm not, you know? The Lord has put you in the palm of his hand. Don't walk out. You're right there, okay? Just stay there. He does it because he's cool. That's great. He does it because he's awesome. He's full of love, full of grace, full of mercy. Okay? All right, good. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
You get into the Word of God and something's going to happen that will blow your mind. Ready? The law of the Lord is perfect, Psalm 119:7 says, able to restore the soul. And I've been doing this for a long time. And in my 42 and a half years of devotions and in my diligent devotion time, I kind of separate that between the two. I cannot tell you, it must be thousands of times where my attitude has been, and then I've went into the Word of God and I came out different. It wasn't anything that I did as much as God speaking into me what he knows about his creation. And so I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, even if you've been a Christian for 50 years, for 60 years, nay, for 70 years, like the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos, be in the Word of God. It is alive, and it will give life and impart life to you through God's Spirit. People come and they read the Word of God, and they say, well, I get nothing out of it. Well, they don't mix it with faith, and the Word of God, the promises of God, not mixed with faith, are useless. Because you have to be engaged with God and know he's going to speak. People are like, well, that's a lot of requirement for me to get in there and read the Word of God. You want me actually to believe that God's going to speak to me? Yes, because he will. And if you don't, you won't hear him. So when you open up that book, take 30 seconds, more than you ever have before, and say, just in this moment, just at this time, tune me in, Lord. Help me to hear what you have to say. Speak to me and let your word breathe life into me. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Last trivia question. You guys ought to get this. I'm feeling pretty confident for you. What unusual request did Joshua ask of God in the pursuit of a military campaign? What unusual request did Joshua ask the Lord for? Answer, of course, is in Joshua chapter 10, one of the most significant moments in all of human history, though many people might not acknowledge that. It's straightforward. If you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's the number to call.
214-210-8483. That's the number to text. And david@hemustincrease.org, that's the email. What unusual prayer request did Joshua ask of the Lord while he was in a military campaign? Very unusual. Nobody's ever asked it that way before. And in the meantime, we're going to go do our history. So let's do history.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
All right, today is National Blueberry Muffin Day.
That'll work, Dave.
That'll work. It's so good I put it down twice.
Pretty good by you.
National Swimming Pool Day. That's very cool.
Pretty good
swimming
as well,
pool's
especially
very cool.
When it's hot.
And in theory, I don't know if they're still doing this. You guys can tell me, but it's supposed to be National 7-Eleven Day where they give you a free Slurpee.
I wonder if they still do that. That was a big deal as a kid.
Yeah,
up.
It was huge, right? You used to go in there and take the blue and the pink and then merge them.
Do a little mixture, yeah.
Yeah, so see. That was very brave of us back then. 1914, on this day, Babe Ruth played in his first Major League baseball game. 1955, the phrase, "In God We Trust," was added to all U.S. currency. Okay. In fact, the law required that it appear within a two-year period. Very interesting. 1987, the world population hit 5 billion people. Now that's significantly more, I think, would be a nice way to say that. And then, that's all. Let's see. In God We Trust, in 1956, it became the official motto of the United States in 1956.
Very interesting.
So there you go. It never was there before. Okay, it's in the history books. I know you guys don't like that, but oh well. All right, so the question, very straightforward question, not complex. What very unusual request did Joshua ask God in his campaign? They were trying to finish out these people. He asked them for something very unique in Joshua chapter 10. What was that? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email david@hemustincrease.org. Let me see if I just tore up the one piece of paper that I needed more than any other piece of paper.
I hear a few papers.
Listen. I crumpled up the piece of paper that I wanted to use.
Oh no.
Yeah, you want to see this?
This is me.
This is how brave I am. I want everybody to hear me doing this. Diamond, witness to this. What I'm doing.
Looks
right
like
now.
Bert got a hold of it.
That's a good line right there, right? That looks like a workout. I'm trying to find this one particular piece of paper because it's the oh, here it is. Thank you. I did throw it away. All right, Isaiah 63:9. Okay, that was me uncrumpling paper. You just don't know with this show.
Live radio.
You just never know. Isaiah 63:9. Okay, and then let me know when you get there because I'm going to probably have you read the ESV. You have the ESV, right? What does it say in Isaiah 63:9?
63:9 says, "In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them."
Okay. Now, it's perfect. That was perfect. Now, listen. In all their affliction, he was affliction. He was afflicted. In other translations, in all their suffering, he suffered. Okay? All the stuff you come up with, you've got to bring it down to this moment because this is where it really, 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 really counts. In their suffering, God suffered. In their affliction, God. What does that mean? He's feeling you. He's feeling you. John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Because Lazarus was raising from the dead? No, because Mary and Martha and those that were close to him were in deep anguish and pain. Acts chapter 9, verse 5, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting." What do you mean? Saul could have said, "I'm not persecuting you, I'm persecuting your followers." Jesus is like, "You touch them, you touch me. I'm going through it too." Psalm 18, verse 6 through 7, "In my distress I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry." Why was he angry? "Because I was in distress. I called to the Lord." So the Lord responded, "I'm angry about this for my kids." Just like any dad, somebody touches the kids, so it's over. You don't do that, right? It's like straightforward.
right? That is how God feels about you. Going through it? Hard time? Tough trial? Or, wait, dancing? Doing awesome? Connecting? Going fantastic? God is so connected to you and I through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that what we go through, he knows and he feels us. I'm just laying it out. There's no way around it. In all their sufferings, he suffered. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. He bears it. This is how Jesus functioned. And remember, if you look at Jesus, you're getting the exact picture of who God is. Jesus bore our burdens. He carried them. And so you go through it, he's going through it. You get a chance to dance, he's dancing with you. You singing, he's singing with you. Isn't that just like, wow? That's how much he loves you. Right? He loves you so much. So the question we asked in the trivia, what unusual request did Joshua ask of God? He's so connected to Joshua. I mean, Joshua asked him the most bizarre thing ever. It's like, really? You can ask that? God goes, okay, here, I'm doing this.
One of my favorites.
It's like, it's so bizarre. I haven't answered yet, but it's so bizarre. It's like, yeah, how does that work? I don't know. You know what? Actually, I don't care. You know what I care about? He asked it. God said yes. Why? Because God was so connected to him. And he was so connected to God. And see, this is part of it. He loves you. So I know. And there's up and there's down. You know, it's human. So it's a fallen world. We're waiting for the redemption of it all. Not the rehab, but the redo. And it's just like, fine. In the meantime, never forget how close he really is. So close that when Peter drowned, all Jesus did was grab his arm because he was right next to him.
We're not alone.
What unusual request did Joshua ask of God? He asked him to make the sun stand still. Who does that?
I love that, Dave.
Who does that? And then God goes, okay.
Something that's never happened.
Yeah, it's like all the gear systems of the universe stop for me. I just love stuff like that. I'm sorry. I'm just one of those guys. All right, that's it for the show today. Hope it was a blessing. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Humanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.